Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is our last sermon in the Welcome, Welcome series of sermons that we've been looking at. The title is Welcome the Unwelcome One, based on Matthew 2. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit today as we hear your word, that we may be strengthened in our lives of faith and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, as you've heard, we have a special rite of commissioning for Patrick and Unca Sproul heading over to Papua New Guinea to a place called Unkarumpa to work as medical officers, to provide medical support to the Bible translators, the missionaries, and people in the villages in that area. It's been described as one of the most under-resourced places on the planet. It's important work that they've been called to do. It's a way that Patrick and Unca have seen fit to use the gifts that they've been given to meet a need that exists in the service of the gospel. The process of discernment for them, the process of preparation that's taken place, started many years ago. And I believe it's been a very exciting and interesting and challenging and frustrating experience for them, all rolled into one. And if you've spoken to them along the way, I'm sure you've heard some of that come through in their explanations. Both the highs and the lows, both the joys and the challenges of preparing for this kind of work. Well, guys, you're almost there. A little over a week, you'll be heading over to get started. We want you to know today that you go with our blessing, with our backing, with our support, and with our prayers. It's not an easy thing, I'm sure, even for people who have extensive experience living away from their native land, from Germany, to still be here and settled and yet to pack their bags and to go. Strikes me as something very similar to what Mary and Joseph were asked to do in the early days of Jesus' life. To get up, to pack their things, to leave Israel and just go. The place they were heading to was, of course, Egypt. They were leaving the known for the unknown, the familiar for the unfamiliar. And not only that, but you know that Egypt held pretty bad memories in the collective memory of the people of Israel. And surely they would have shared the stories through the generations of the slavery that they endured there in the land of Egypt. And now God wants Mary and Joseph to head back in that direction. So our outline for this morning is when God says go, when humans say no, picking up on Herod's role, more so than Mary and Joseph's, and when God says come, as he calls them back to Israel later in the account. When God says go, when humans say no, when God says come. The story picks up immediately after the wise men have headed back home. So when they, that is the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. When God says go, you go. Mary and Joseph knew that much. But the reason and the circumstances must have been pretty frightening for them. Why are they going? Because their son, their infant son's life has come under threat because he's in danger. Now, this is the same one that the angels rejoiced over and the shepherds journeyed to see and the wise men bowed down and worshipped. The same one. Less than a year or two later now finds himself in mortal danger. Now, there's a great irony here in the text that perhaps we easily miss. This is the Messiah. And the Messiah was going to come and save Israel, not come and leave Israel. The Messiah was going to come and defeat the enemies of Israel, not go and live with them. The Messiah was going to come and rescue Israel, not come and need rescuing from Israel. And so what we begin to learn about the Messiah who has come is that he's very different than the Messiah some people expected. And what we're going to learn about this Messiah is that those who most need him, least want him. And so he's driven from his homeland, driven away at the earliest age. He came to that which was his own, and his own people did not receive him. When God says go, you go. Because usually there's a good reason. Probably always there's a good reason. When God says go, you go to Egypt, to Unkarumpa, to wherever it might be. Now we might think, well, sure, it's easy for Mary and Joseph. They had an angel telling them what to do. Well, they might look at us and say, yeah, but it's easy for you. You've got the whole New Testament telling you what to do. Discerning the will of God in our lives is perhaps not something we find easy. And yet God speaks to us. He spoke through his prophets. He spoke through angels. He spoke through his word in the Old Testament. He spoke through his son. He spoke through his apostles. He spoke through the Spirit. And he still speaks through his word as we read it and learn it and grapple with it and digest it and take it into our lives and allow it to form and shape our thinking. God still speaks. And the question is, of course, are we listening? Do we listen to the word of God faithfully and regularly and prayerfully and communally and contextually? Because that's how we're shaped in the will of God and how we get to know his will for our individual circumstances too. Paul writes, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Sometimes it's pretty simple. Like if a crazed king is trying to kill your firstborn, you get out of there, right? And so Mary and Joseph do and head down to Egypt. Now, that doesn't mean we all need to leave our homeland or leave our country in order to do God's will. But some people do need to leave their homeland to do God's will. And Mary and Joseph certainly did. When God says go, you go. Of course, human nature doesn't quite work like that. And often when God says go, we say, yeah, perhaps. I'll go when I choose to go. I'll go where I choose to go. Isn't that how we work as human beings? We want to be the masters of our destiny. We don't want to be told by anyone where to go and what to do. And so there's a battle of the wills set up in every human life between ourselves and God. King Herod, of course, is the epitome of all that is wrong with humanity, the epitome of corrupt power. Now, some of you might think Mr. Trump over in the US has some issues. He's got nothing on Mr. Herod, right? Nothing on this guy. When God says go, Herod says no. When God says stay, Herod says no way. Right? Whatever the will of God is saying to him, Herod is doing the opposite. And so we get this kind of snowball effect, right? As we see the really tragic end of the trajectory when the human will stamps itself over the will of God. And a tragedy not just for him, right, but his people, for those who are supposed to be under his care. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the Magi. Herod shows us the terrible consequences of sin, of the life lived without regard for God. Thou shalt not murder. Herod shows us what happens when human ambition and power and corruption have free reign. That snowball effect of the life lived away from the heart of God. Starts out as maybe selfishness or selfish ambition. Next thing, it's anger and fury. Next thing, it's corruption, and then cruelty. Herod shows us what these attributes and activities look like when taken to their extreme. But what we need to recognize is that even if the extreme is not happening in our own lives, those activities and attributes still often are. And so we need to be aware of that little Herod living inside each one of us, wanting to assert his will over the will of God and the will of other people. God says, go, love your neighbor. And often we say, no, I have a few other interests I need to take care of first. Maybe then. And so we see that little Herod living inside each one of us in that battle of the wills. Now, hopefully, it doesn't ever reach the grand and gruesome scale in our own lives that it did in Herod's. And we realize that with great power comes great responsibility. That's from Batman, I think. I've often thought that the whole Christian life is one of learning to yield our will to the will of God. Learning to pray with Jesus there in Gethsemane, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Isn't that our whole task, our whole lesson as Christian people? To learn to pray that prayer daily and continually, Father, not my will, but yours be done. I'm sure the Sprouts have learnt a few things about praying that prayer over the years in their preparations for now. So when God says go, we go. When humans say no, then we have a problem. Then we have a battle of the wills. So what about when God says come? Herod's plan, like Herod's reign, met a very tragic end. Those who live by the sword die by the sword, right? And Herod was succeeded by his son Archelaus, who was just as evil and corrupt as he was. And so it goes on. But our attention in the text turns back to Jesus and his family, and it says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. This time God says, come. Come back. Come home. Come here. So it's a slightly different call of God in the lives of Mary and Joseph. Not because every danger has passed, but because the immediate danger has passed, and now it's time to come back and see another fulfillment of another prophecy that he would be called a Nazarene. He would be raised in the place of Nazareth. That fact would be remembered years later as a man called Pontius Pilate scribbled a little sign that he stuck on top of a wooden cross, and it said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Interesting that what we see in this text is one evil king who fades into obscurity and tragedy and history, who no one really wants to remember, and another king who returns and returns time and time again to the world stage before our eyes. God says, come and look at him, come and listen to him. God called him back. He said, come back home. Come to Israel. Come and face the music. Come and face the cross. Come and face death. But come back to life again. This is the call of God in the life of his son. God does say to us, go. You know, go to Egypt. Go to Unkarumpa. Go to all nations. Baptize them. Teach them everything I'm teaching you. Isn't that the call of the church? The mission of the people of God? And yet he also says to us, come. Come to me. Come and be baptized. Come and learn what it means to be a child of God. Come, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come. Come back to me. Come back on your knees. Come back to your senses. Come back to my table. Come and receive my gifts. Come. I have so much to give you. You can't do this on your own. If you're going to go, you better learn to also come and receive from the hand of God. God calls us back to his grace, calls us back to his mercy time and time again throughout our lives, because we need it time and time again throughout our lives. One day, Patrick and Unca, we hope that God calls you back to us. Not back to your senses, I think you have those intact, right? But back to us here at St. Mark's. But until he does, we want to entrust you to his care And we want to pray that the work you do will help others to know, maybe for some of them for the first time, the will and the word of God. It's a very significant thing that you're going to be a part of. And so we pray God's blessing over you as you do that. May the Lord watch over you, both your going and your coming, from this time on and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing your word to us in the Holy Scriptures, your will to us, and the word made flesh in the person of Jesus. Lord, draw us again and again to come back to him, to come to him in faith, to come to him to receive his gracious gifts in our lives so that we can go to the world you have created and show it your love, your mercy, your peace, and your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.